This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are listening to the Next Best Picture podcast, and this is Will Mavity's interview with the writer and director for When You Finish Saving the World, Jesse Eisenberg, and the film's star, Finn Wolfhard.
By that logic, we should just occupy every country.
Yo, I agree with you, Lila.
Thank you, Ziggy.
How do you agree with Lila?
Oh, shit.
Excuse my brain for knowing what not to say. I know it'll get better with age.
This is the Real Ziggy Cats. Thanks for tuning in.
Mom! Did you open my door while I was... Shit, I'm sorry. Did you try to open the door while I was live streaming?
What's live streaming?
That's where I have 20,000 followers, and I'm validated, and I'm starred, which is terror hard to get.
Just make sure you don't play the blues.
What?
White people playing blues music.
It's cultural appropriation.
I play classic folk rock with alternative influences.
I don't know what that means.
And then you called the police?
I called them.
You're in the right place, you're safe, and you'll have two beds for as long as you need.
He's my little knight in shining armor.
Love.
It's true, kids are just pure love, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What the hell are you doing?
Installing a red beacon light so people know when I'm live streaming.
And by people, you
I mean you.
Ziggy, you don't have to be interested in politics.
You think I'm stupid?
No, I didn't say that.
I brought you this hat, Kyle. It was my son's, but he no longer wears it.
I don't know what he wears anymore.
Most boys your age can't bring themselves to be kind.
Jesus, Ziggy!
And you can't help yourself. You're a special person.
Ziggy, are you happy?
I think so. Why are you asking me?
Because I'm reading this article about teen suicide, and it's highest in your age group.
Okay, thanks, Dad.
Mom's home!
When you were a little boy, you were my little ally. Your life was going to be happier. You were going to be one of the good ones. And then something switched in you. You stopped being interested in anything outside your own little world.
Sorry about that. Can you take me to school?
Are you ready to go right now?
I'm right here, dude.
Hi, I'm Will Mavity, nextbestpicture.com. Great to talk with you guys.
Yeah, great
Thanks
to talk
for
with you too.
Yeah,
thank you. All right, so Jesse, I think I read that this is based on your relationship with your mother-in-law.
It's really based on anything real, but I've had the good fortune of being able to like volunteer at a domestic violence shelter, on and off for the last 15 years through my wife's mother. And so it's a world I knew well. And when I'm writing, I try to write about all the things that I know that, you know, are really interesting to me and that also on this Venn diagram haven't been explored 1,000 times in other movies.
Right. So I would love to know, I guess, for both of you, the process of taking this from an Audible special to turning into a film. Because, Finn, you did the voice work on that as well, right?
Yeah.
You appeared on there?
Yes, I did. Yeah. It was actually they're completely different ways of working. I remember thinking that it was so hard. The Audible thing was incredibly
it's very
difficult.
Yeah.
You just with acting because your face is in it, you can get away with kind of slurring your speech and kind of saying, you know, I just with Audible you have to everything has to be kind of very clear and with also trying to give a performance at the same time.
Yeah.
Which I guess says a lot about what an actor I am.
Well, it'd be the equivalent of a movie where you have a monologue for 4 hours.
Yeah, sure, but. thank God we could break it up.
Right.
But yeah, no, I mean, the process of it was very different for sure. But as far as the like writing, Jesse kind of, yeah, I think it was different for you.
Yeah, but obviously. I mean, also like, you know, Finn did this character in audio form. I don't know. I think it's maybe like is it 3 hours or something of performing as this role. And so, you know, he developed like, you know, the nuances of this character. You know, this is a guy who is like very popular online, but struggles to, you know, get any traction with the people in his life, both his family who kind of ignores him and the kids at school who think he's kind of, you know, silly. And so, you know, these are like kind of, you know, I'm an actor, so I, you know, I get it. Like, there's these kind of like nuances you have to find with a character. And, you know, for Finn, who's not only a brilliant actor, but like a very thoughtful, soulful person, finding these nuances to make a character that's both kind of obnoxious, grating, and also sympathetic, you know, is a process and work. And he did, you know, got to be able to do that with having done the Audible project.
Well, Jesse, why don't you tell me a little bit more about kind of the difficulty in expanding your 3 hour Audible experience into this, like, what, like hour, 40 minute screenplay?
Yeah. You know, my background as a writer is in theater. I write plays and short stories. And, you know, I always end up writing before I write like a play. I'll always have monologues from a character, two characters from the play before the play starts. And so I'm kind of like used to this process where, you know, thinking about a person and their psychology and their inner life and their behavior and their humor and anxieties and everything. And then I'll usually write from their perspective. And so that's in some ways what this movie is this movie had a kind of, you know, preamble, which was this long, you know, book for Audible. And then I also had this other, you know, great advantage of, you know, in writing the movie, I had already thought about these characters so much. So Finn's part in the audiobook is one of three sections. You also hear from the dad and you hear from the mother when she's a young woman in college. And so I kind of knew her backstory as well. That's the character that Julianne Moore plays in this movie. And so, you know, that helps me as a writer to think about the characters and allows me to kind of just dig in and feel kind of what the most fun scenes would be in a, you know, in a kind of extended version.
So in terms of directing, I think your plays were mostly kind of one location pieces, yeah, right?
Yes.
This would be very different, I imagine.
Yes, I always, you know, yes, exactly. I mean, and my instinct always is to write plays because, you know, I am probably just fiscally, concerned. And so, you know, you think you can afford to put on a play where there's a couch and, you know, and maybe like a little poster on the wall. And then when I started writing, you know, this story, I thought, you know, it'd be so wonderful to see the inner workings of a domestic violence shelter and then conversely see, you know, a music app where, you know, kids can play kind of, you know, shallowish music to thousands and thousands of fans online. And wouldn't it be great to be able to kind of show these two contrasting worlds in the same story? And so when I started thinking about that, I started thinking, well, what would be great to show in a movie? How can I further take advantage of this medium that I have acted in so much but never kind of made? And so I started thinking of, you know, you know, scenes that take place outdoors, which seemed kind of like a wondrous, you know, novelty. And also performance. I love seeing people perform, you know, in the context of a storyline. And so in this movie, Finn goes to these teen performances of social justice kids who are performing social justice art. And he performs his songs, which are just the opposite of what these kids want. These kids are performing, you know, poetry about global warming and the Marshall Islands. And then he gets on stage and performs a song about missing his friends during summer break from school. And thinking about things for this medium became kind of this fun exercise and new for me.
Ben, why don't you tell me a little bit about getting into the head of that character?
Yeah. When Jesse was casting this role, he thought, who is the most shallow person I could get to reflect this character? Playing this character, I think for me, was very, very rewarding, and terrifying and, incredibly fun. I think you have to kind of try to relate to your character, no matter kind of how many kind of pompous or like arrogant things my character says in the film. I think like really just getting into why he's saying them as opposed to and maybe not thinking about it, but having that in the back of your head of yeah, why he's saying them rather than the things that he's actually saying, I think really helped me at least, convey a kind of, you know, hopefully people see past the comments and actually kind of almost feel bad for this character who kind of is actually pretty, has not a lot of control in his life and feels pretty useless, you know, but for, you know, whatever, an hour every so often he can get online and feel like totally praised by all these people, but in his real life, you know, so that I think for him is a very frustrating thing, and, you know, not having any, having no attention or sort of relationship with his mother, I think kind of, yeah, I think for me, I think there's a lot of things that I find very funny and sweet about that character. So I try to kind of put as much of myself as possible in it to kind of offset the sort of, yeah, I don't know.
Like youthful arrogance.
Yeah, youthful arrogance or whatever. Because I would imagine, I mean, like, he doesn't know anything about the world yet. And so I think, I would imagine that as he hopefully gets older, he says less grating things.
Right.
But I don't know. Maybe he's like that forever. I'm not sure. But I think, you know, that's playing him at that point in his life. It was really rewarding, I guess.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. So, Jesse, I saw that Emma Stone's credited as a producer on this. Tell me a little bit about her involvement in this project.
Yeah. You know, Emma is not only the producer of this movie alongside her husband, Dave McCary, who's a brilliant director, and their partner, Ali Herding. But they were like as hands-on as you could be. So this was their first movie with their new company, Fruit Tree. And this was my first movie, obviously. So, you know, we were both kind of learning and kind of taking advantage of the process and all the kind of granular details of the process to gain experience. So, you know, Emma, Dave, and Ali were on every interview I did with, you know, editors, composers, production designers, every audition for actors. And I was just so lucky. The script, I've known Emma for a decade, but the script came to them in a very roundabout way, which is that I offered the other main role besides Finn to Julianne Moore. And Julianne Moore has the same agent as Emma. And Emma had come in for a meeting with her agent and said, you know, we're thinking about starting a production company. Do you have any scripts that we could take a look at to kind of get our feet wet and see what's out there? And her agent, luckily to my, you know, great fortune, said, I just got a script from somebody you know, from Jesse. And they read the script and they called me and said, we'd love to produce this as our first movie. I, you know, could not have been luckier because, you know, as a small movie, you want producers that are not only really savvy, but you want producers who are kind of fighting for all the little things that a small movie can't easily get. You know, when you're doing a big movie, there is a studio. We had a studio in A24, but before we had A24, we were kind of on our own. And, you know, you want producers who are fighting, who are caring about it, and all the kind of all the glue that holds the thing together. You want to be with not only savvy people, but people who really care about the project. And so because it was our first one, we all had that same kind of, you know, energy and passion.
Oh, yeah.
That's okay. Same, you guys.
Same energy. Same energy.
Earlier, you were like, when earlier you were talking about how you guys had they had the same agent.
They had the same agent.
Oh, okay. So Hollywood is more connected than I thought.
Yeah, exactly. Holly weird, more like.
Yeah, so everyone's connected, I guess.
Oh, yeah,
that's weird.
Wow.
So, you guys obviously have mentioned Julianne Moore, and obviously she's a significant part of the film. How did she end up in the project other than, did you say she has the same agent as well as you and Emma too? Or?
No.
Does she have the same agent as Emma?
Yes, and I assume there's other clients there as well, but I don't know who they are.
Yeah, and Ben's like, I need to know who this is.
Yeah, it sounds like an amazing agent.
Yeah. So it seems like there's a little bit of nepotism.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and yeah, she's their sister. So, yeah, no, I mean, how did she become part of the movie? I don't know, just pure luck from my standpoint. you know, I just sent her the script with a note. You know, listen, I knew, like, I've not directed a movie before, and I know that, like, I don't have anything to show for it, except that I've been on sets, and she knows that. But, like, the thing I like more than anything is writing unusual characters, characters I haven't seen before, or seen a million times. And I know as an actor, that's what I like playing. I love finding a role, and I don't care what the size of the project is or even the medium. I do theater and, you know, various, and films and TV. And, you know, my feeling is, like, I just want to play something I haven't really seen before or haven't gotten to do a lot. And so I knew when I wrote this, I knew I could get a good actor because I know what actors like to do. And so yeah. I would say, despite my 1,000 other flaws, I felt like she might, somebody of her caliber might be interested in it and might take a chance.
Ben, tell me a little bit about working with Julianne. What kind of background did you both do to kind of prepare for this very turbulent mother-son relationship?
Yeah, I mean, we had we just had lunch one day before we shot the film, and, like, that was it, really. I mean, we both kind of jumped into it. I mean, it was hard to, you know, it was middle of COVID,
It was impossible to do any rehearsal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But what helped, though, was that, I mean, beforehand, me and Jesse would just read through the scenes.
Yeah.
Weeks before, when I was, like, in Vancouver at home, mm-hmm. We would rehearse a little bit, which helped a lot as well. But as far as Julianne goes, I mean, she's the most prepared.
Oh, yeah.
Professional, amazing actor, you know, ever. And so I was incredibly going into it pretty intimidated. But what ended up happening was that kind of she ended up being the exact opposite kind of what you would think, which is someone that, like, has done 100 movies. And, like, honestly, if she would have told me to go stand there so that I would have, you know, gotten her light better, I would have done whatever she would have wanted. But instead, she was, like, one of the most funny, pure, you know, amazing, one of the most hardworking people I've met, and so the least controlling actor I've ever worked with. And Gabe, I didn't expect her to give me as much confidence in what I was doing in my role. It just felt like she really sort of gave me she really made it feel equal, which I didn't expect. And I really felt like I had an amazing, like, partner in it.
Yeah, she loved Finn to, like, just the most wonderful degree. The first meeting I had with her, she, you know, she'd read the script and she likes her character. And she said, you know, but who's playing this other role? It's a young character. Can we get somebody really good? And I was like, you just have to meet this person, Finn. He's so special and so funny and so sophisticated in his taste, but such a brilliant actor to kind of play naive, which this character requires. And I don't know how skeptical she was or curious she was, but on the first day she came over to me and she was like, I love this guy. Oh my God. They were, you know, sweet. It was the kind of thing you are so thankful of as a director when you see the two leading actors in the corner of the set joking around with each other, not wanting to go back to their trailers to stay on set.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Like, you're, like, lucky for, like, just efficiency's sake. Like, the actors,
right, right.
You know, like,
oh, they're close to camera.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then the other thing is that you want actors who like each other because they're playing, as you indicated, they're playing these, you know, they there's so much tension. I mean, these characters are of, like, complete opposite ideologies. They have no respect for each other's values.
But in a lot of ways that kind of helps because I think there's also a lot of, sometimes you hear that from movies where it's like, oh, the people didn't like each other, so it actually helped. And I don't actually agree with that. Have you not?
No.
I think that there's this thing of, like, there's a lot of, like, blockbuster movies where it's, like, shrouded in, there's sometimes, like, these big movies where, like, it's like, oh, you know, two big movie stars that didn't get along, but it actually
right.
helped the thing.
Look at the sparks.
Right, exactly.
I've never seen that.
No, but that's what it would be.
Right, of course.
Right, I don't exactly. know if you, maybe I'm talking out of my butt, but.
No, I
do this all the time.
Fast and Furious, right?
I've never seen that to be successful.
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't think, but actually I think what helps is if the two actors really like each other, they want what's best for the film.
Right.
And so they'll go to the places that they, you know, I remember one of the first days I was kind of locked up and I remember we did a take and it felt pretty good and Julianne just, like, turned to me and she took off her glasses and she was like, "That was fun." And I remember thinking like, "Oh,
thank God."
Yep. God.
Yeah, I know.
Like, amazing.
I will say, like, I've worked with several actresses, and I've heard this before. I met Julianne or asked her to do the movie.
What's that? I worked with several actresses.
Several two is several. Two is several. One is one. Two is several. Yeah. Two is many, many actresses. Yeah. No, and I've heard this from multiple actresses. They say that that have worked with Julianne. And they say that that's who I want to be. That she is the she is the most inspiring, generous, figure that I would aspire to be. And so, like, it's great that she, you know, was able to do that for Finn too. It's such a gift. I've been acting since I'm, you know, 18 in movies, and I remember and can probably, you know, count, on the people who made me feel not only good about what I was doing, but made me feel like, oh, I could probably continue to do this and still enjoy it.
Yeah, even as like a younger man, like I kind of was like, oh, the way that she talks about her family and her just, I just was like, I felt in the same way that I, as an older actor, I'd want to be like that as
well. You could be a normal person and still do this very unusual
job. Yeah.
So you mentioned you've been acting since you're a kid. We're about out of time, but Jesse, I have to mention, growing up, my mom would torment me by playing these cassette tapes of the Broadway kids.
What?
And I recently discovered that
You I did one song on it. Wait, where did you grow up? In my mom's house? Where?
I grew up in Atlanta. My mom loved those cassettes. So all the Broadway kids blasting all the time.
Oh, that was your baby shark. Sorry.
Yes. So which song did you do?
I did You Gotta Have Heart from Damn Yankees. Yes. I did musical theater when I was younger.
Oh, man.
It was, well.
Okay, yeah. So, Finn, I don't know if you've heard these, but you're going to have to look up the Broadway Kids albums.
I cannot believe. Don't feel the need to kind of tell anybody. But
yeah, I'm going
to
tell everyone now.
But I am in shock. Did she like musical theater and try to?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I was trying to be like led into that world.
Did you ever do musicals?
I popped in my senior year for a small role in The Drowsy Chaperone, and
of course you did.
Yeah, and then when I was really young, they threw me in as like not like the handsome Nazi, but like the villain Nazi in The Sound of Music when I was in sixth grade. Everyone else is in high school.
You're gonna be a Nazi. Yeah, you want to.
Did you say be a good Nazi? Don't say that.
I said if you're gonna be a Nazi, you want to be you know, the villainous one. I mean. You're not going to get credit for being a good Nazi, so you may as well go full. That's cool. No, I've seen several musicals at the Alliance down there, and I just I love it.
Alliance, yeah. That's fantastic. Well, I think we're out of time, guys, but thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for doing this. How nice.
Absolutely.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to Will Mavity's interview with the writer and director for the film When You Finish Saving the World, Jesse Eisenberg, along with the film's star, Finn Wolfhard, here on the Next Best Picture podcast. When You Finish the World is now currently playing in theaters from A24. You have been listening to the Next Best Picture podcast. We are proud to be part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, and you can subscribe to us anywhere where you subscribe to podcasts. Be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know what you think of the show. We really appreciate your feedback and your support, which you can also lend on over at Patreon. For $1 minimum a month, you'll get some exclusive podcast content from us. Thank you so much for listening, as always, and we will see you all next time.
guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.